Good evening. Turn to Mark chapter 4, if you would. I'm preaching a series of messages where I'm going through the four fours of the New Testament. And this passage that we're going to cover in Mark tonight is a fairly lengthy passage and a fairly good-sized topic. So I'm going to do my very best to be done in a reasonable amount of time. That's all I'm going to promise you. Mr. Wilson gave me like 20 extra minutes this morning by leaving early, so I may take those. Ladies, fundraising sign-up sheets are hanging back, bulletin board. Please check for your name and get with team captains for meeting schedules or see Mrs. Donahue for any other questions. Dave, I appreciated your Lord's Supper meditation. And one of the things I was thinking of when you were talking in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah and he says, Rightly did the Isaiah prophesy of you. He said, "Your people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." And unfortunately, the majority of the religious world out there is teaching a doctrine of men, not of God. And so we have a responsibility to go to the Scripture. And that actually leads into my message tonight, as well as there's been several things in the last few weeks in our assemblies here that have led into this message. So I think it's appropriately timed and the Holy Spirit must be working on something there. So let's dive in. Mark chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 3 and we're going to read through verse 20. And what this is a parable of the soils. So tonight you guys are going to get the dirt on soil. That's the title of my message. If you'd like that, I usually don't come up with those, but that's what I got for you. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 3, it says, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it came about that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell in the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Another seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And as soon as he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables, in order that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? And how will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. And in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones in whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word. And the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are the ones in whom the seed was sown on the good soil. And they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Let's pray. Great God in heaven, Lord, we come before you tonight as your people. Lord, those that are humble of heart, those that have humbled themselves before you, contrite of spirit, and you tremble at your word. Those that recognize that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, the great I Am. There is no other name above yours, and we give you all honor and praise and glory. Lord, I pray that you will be with me this evening as I preach this message from your word. Lord, a message that I believe is applicable to everyone. Lord, a message that requires us to examine ourselves, to see where we are. Lord, I pray that that I'll speak boldly and clearly, and that your people will be edified, encouraged, uplifted, strengthened to do your work in this time and this place. In the name of Christ Jesus, our King, we pray. Amen. parable of the soils. Again, this is, if you've been around the assembly in the last few weeks, you've heard this mentioned several times. And this is a real thing right here. It doesn't matter who you are, you fit one of these four types of soil. Period. That's it. There is no other kind. And I want to bring something to your attention here tonight. In verse 11, it talks, he's explaining this, and there's kind of an interlude there between the parable and the interpretation of that parable. And he says, verse 11, "To you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but those who are outside get everything in parables." I'm going to put forth to you tonight that all four of these soil conditions can be found in the church. A lot of times it's presented that the first one is for those who are outside the church and the other three are inside the church. But we're going to go through some scripture tonight, and I want you to examine that to see if you think that that first one, that seed that falls on the road, could also be found in the assembly. Now, I'm not going to say that it doesn't also exist outside of the church, but I put forth to you that I believe that this happens inside the church. And I would just give you a case in point of, if you've been around this very long at all, you've seen people that came in, got immersed, and they are gone. Never see them again. And that sounds to me like there could be something like Satan snatching that word from them. Again, we're going to look at some other scriptures. I'll let you guys draw your own conclusions. But I want to put forth that to you tonight, that this is a condition that I believe could be found inside the kingdom. And I bring up that in verse 11 there, that to those who are in the kingdom get to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Components of this parable exist. You have the sower. You have the seed. You have the soil condition of the road. You have the soil condition of the rocky soil. You have the soil condition of the thorny soil. And you have the soil condition of the good soil. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I want to start with the sower. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 6 through 9. The Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, addressing the body in Corinth, says this. He says in verse 6, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So that neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building." The sower, insert your name. That's your job, to sow the seed. It's not our job to make that seed grow. We can sow that seed, we can water, provide encouragement and things like that, but honestly, that's not our job to make that seed grow. That is between the seed and the soil, whether or not that seed is going to bear fruit. But our job is to sow that seed. I'm reminded in Romans chapter 10 when it talks about the need for a preacher. How will they hear unless it is preached? And how is it going to be preached unless someone is sent? Man, they're not going to hear unless somebody tells them. And that's our job. So in the sower, you can insert the Christian in there as our job. How about the seed? Go to Luke chapter 8. That's going to be a parallel passage to Mark 4. Guys, we're going to hit a ton of scripture tonight. So, man, have your fingers ready. We're going to spend some time in Luke 8, Matthew 13. So if you got a couple extra bookmarks, throw them in there, because we're going to go back and forth with some other scriptures and refer back to those two passages. Luke chapter 8, verse 11, in case there is any confusion on what the seed is. As this interpretation is given of the same parable in Luke chapter 8, it says, "Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. By its definition, it's good seed." Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Beginning in verse 8. This is a great passage of scripture here in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 verse 8, it says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnish seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." You can take this message that I'm going to preach tonight, and it's going to be very similar to our Lord's Day morning class on what we've been talking about lately, and that's fruit. And what I want to talk about tonight is bearing fruit, and I'm not talking about the result or the effect of that fruit. I'm talking about spiritual offspring. There is an aspect of this which we'll also talk about, that result or the effect. But really, man, we're looking long term on this, on bearing spiritual offspring. We're going to see that borne out later on. God's Word accomplishes its purpose. It's not bad seed. So if we got a condition where the seed is sown and it doesn't produce fruit, it's not the fault of the seed. And it's not the fault of the sower, because his job is just to broadcast that seed. It comes squarely on the soil. Four types of soil. Luke chapter 8. The road. The hard soil. That seed is thrown and it doesn't penetrate into that soil. Verse 12 of Luke chapter 8. "And those beside the road are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and be saved." Go to Matthew chapter 13. It's a parallel passage. Verse 19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road." And you think about that seed. It's there, but it never gets where it penetrates down deep inside that soil. And so it is snatched or removed away. I like in Matthew's passage there, it reminds us that the guy that hears the word and does not understand it, doesn't realize what that seed is, what that word is, doesn't understand the importance of it, snatched away, removed, taken away. When I think of a road, I think of a hard surface. Oh, I'm not a golfer. I've played a few times, and I can tell you the furthest distance I've ever hit it is when I got lucky enough for it to bounce off the cart path. You know, man, that hard surface, that thing really carried a long distance. It was fortunate it wasn't a parking lot, but hard surface. Now there's a reason I brought up that I believe that this could be a condition of those who are inside the church as well. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. In Matthew there, it talked about they didn't understand it. Hosea the prophet says, "My people will be destroyed for their lack of knowledge." Because they didn't understand it. They're destroyed because of it. I want you to read this passage. And again, this is going to be a reference back to physical Israel. But man, Hebrews is written to Christians for Christians. And he's making applications for us. And we're going to see that through here. Hebrews 3, beginning in verse 12. Man, I turned to Hebrews 12 by default. We're going to Hebrews 3. Did I say Hebrews 12?
Hebrews 3.
Wow, Mr. Simpson, man. He's like a Jedi mind trick on me or something there. Hebrews 3, verse 12. All right. Take care, brethren, lest there be any one of you an evil and unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Now we see a picture here of a hardness of heart. We see a picture here of an unbelieving people. Man, it's hard for us to believe sometimes that the Israelites came to the promised land like, man, we can't do this. And it wasn't very long ago that God parted the Red Sea and caused Pharaoh's army to perish completely in that thing. Miraculously brought him out of Egypt. Miraculously brought him through the Red Sea. Delivered him time and time again. Gave him protection. And they come up into a land where there's a few giants out there and they're scared. They're unbelief. Hard-hearted. What did they do? They wanted to go back, didn't they? Take us back to Egypt. Sounds like maybe that word didn't penetrate through to them in their heart. Maybe the truth of what happened didn't penetrate deep enough to where it would bear fruit in them. Plucked away. That hard soil never gets root. Let's talk about the rocky soil. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 20 and 21. And the one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. At my house, we live kind of out where we have to haul water. So we don't have a lawn like a lot of you guys have. And so there's a few places where we've got like a river rock up there. And it's amazing when you got to go pull that grass, those weeds out of where that river rock is, it's nothing. It just comes right out. Because there ain't no depth. Those roots don't have anything to grab onto. You can yank them out like nothing. This rocky soil. When affliction or persecution arises, immediately falls away. The Luke passage adds in there, temptation arises, they fall away. And it takes a little bit to stand through some things, doesn't it? You know, as a young guy, I remember, man, the peer pressure that comes across, man, and it's hard sometimes. You know, the young Christian, just learn a little bit. Having to make some stands and take some stands. Because your family's not going to like it. Just the way it goes. Your buddies aren't going to like it. It's just the way it goes. Your girlfriends aren't going to like it. That's just the way it goes. Because all of a sudden you're doing some good things and that's condemnation towards them. They don't like it. Who are you, holier than thou, preacher boy, Bible thumper? A little persecution arises. Maybe the people in your workplace notice some things are different. You know, maybe it's not direct. It's just a little snide comment here or there. Maybe it's the way they don't talk to you anymore. Man, if you don't put that taproot of faith down deep in there, man, you get yanked out. Fall away. Let's go to Matthew 24. This is serious, guys. Serious message. Matthew 24, verse 9. Again, this is Jesus, and there's a physical application of what he's prophesying here, but there's also a great spiritual and an applicable message for us. Matthew 24, verse 9, it says, "Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you. You will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And at that time, many will fall away and will deliver up one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. And because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold." But verse 13, "But the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved." That, the one who endures to the end, he shall be saved. This is talking, you know, prophecy of Christians here. Salvation, got to endure those things through the end. Last time I checked, guys, Bible's not popular today for what it says. We can pick a couple of topics. Homosexuality. It's wrong according to Scripture. Abomination before the Lord. So what happens when pressure starts coming? What happens? That's hate speech in America. You understand that? What happens? You going to stand? You going to deliver up one another and hate one another? Serious, isn't it? Jesus says, "If they persecute me," John chapter 15, "they're going to persecute you." Teacher's not greater, the student's not greater than the teacher, right? That's the way it's going to go. Matthew chapter 13. Verse 22. This is a thorny soil. "The one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful." Look at Luke chapter 8, parallel passage. Verse 14. "And the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity." Whoa, what a picture this gives us here, doesn't this? Man, we start looking at this thorny soil. Man, at my house, I don't have grass because it takes effort to grow grass when you're hauling water. You know what I do have? Weeds. It takes no effort to grow weeds. Man, you know, you just turn around, there they are. I pull them out one year, they come back the next. Weeds. Man, it says the guy goes on his way. And the deceitfulness of riches, the worries of this life. Hey, it's easy to get caught up in those things, isn't it? You know, and I like the way it says it there. It doesn't bring fruit to maturity. Man, that's a stalled out growth, isn't it? What good is a plant or a tree that doesn't bring forth fruit if it's supposed to? It's no good, is it? It's worthless. It's work. But you don't get the payoff out of it. The thorny soil. Go to Matthew chapter 6. I want to address the deceitfulness and emptiness of riches here in Matthew 6. Matthew
beginning of verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And you look at the literal on that, it's or riches. Who are you going to serve? You going to serve God or money? And you can substitute the word yourself in there for money. The deceitfulness of riches. Man, I am telling you right now, you go to your wallet and you pull out that Benjamin Franklin, that thing is worthless. It doesn't matter how many of them you got. There is no intrinsic value behind that money. It can be gone like that. You don't believe me? Do a little history study. You don't even have to go far. You just go back into the last century. Germany. We'll go back a little bit. They're getting paid in Germany and France. They're inflating and deflating the currency. Man, you get paid with a wheelbarrow full of cash and you go buy a loaf of bread with it. Because as soon as they're printing it like that, that thing is dropping in value like a stone. And there is no security in riches. None. There is nothing that you have in a physical sense that can provide you an ounce of security. None. You go buy the safest automobile in the world to protect you and your family, and you get run over by an 80,000 pound truck. I don't care how many airbags it's got. There ain't no security there. None of it is security. None of it. Not one bit. Why do you think God calls it the deceitfulness of riches? Man, I like that parable. I didn't go there tonight. I've referenced it many times in the past. But that guy looks out there and, man, look at all I got. Man, I'm going to have to tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Man, I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to live on the interest of the interest. And God says, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And guess what? You leave at zero money-wise, and you enter at zero money-wise. It doesn't matter what you have here. When you take your last breath, that is all gone. The deceitfulness of riches. You put armed security guards around yourself and live in a bomb shelter and have food storage and everything else, man, there is no security in any of it. None of it. I'm not saying that you can't be prepared. I'm just saying you put your trust in the Lord. Not in riches, not in anything you have. Because it will not last. Not one bit. Let's read 31 through 34 and we'll talk about the worries of this life. And I skipped a whole bunch of stuff here. Really, you guys should read all of Matthew chapter 6 because it is all about this. Verse 31, Matthew 6, "Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Man, the worries of this life. You know, there's something I realized. And maybe it's every person on the face of the earth, not just Americans. But I can tell you right now that as Americans we get together, the first question that somebody's going to ask is, what are we going to eat? We leave assembly on Lord's Day morning and my kids are like, we're starving. What are we going to eat? We're going to eat at home. Can we go out? You know, hey man, that's the worries of this world, right? And it can suck us away, can't it? The worries of filling our physical needs. And there's some needs there. But man, what if that's what consumes us? How about, what are we going to wear? The right clothes.
Mr. Hahn, I appreciate you getting up here and talking about your ugly sweater. You know what? Man, that's really, at some point, does it make a difference? Man, we identify people by what they wear, but man, you take this back 2,000 years, guess what? You had one change of clothes. It wasn't a worry. When it wore out, hopefully you could get another one. That was it. Worries the world. Man, those things can pull you in. I know. By my nature, I am one of those guys that you give me a possibility and I'll chase it mentally all those ends all the way out. I understand. Man, at some point though, what are you doing? You're worrying about something you got no control over. I heard this said one time. I don't know if it's true. They say that 78% of statistics are made up on the spot, and I'll throw this one out there. That was a joke, by the way. But 95% of what you worry about doesn't come true. So what are you worrying about? Think about it. Not right now, later. I want you to pay attention to me. Think about it, though. You worry about all this stuff, guess what? Most of it never even happens. I can tell you that personally. Me, I've run these 17 scenarios all the way to their end, and not one of them happens. What did I do? All stressed up, knotted up, worried, what's going to happen? Choke out the word if you're not careful. Man, I was going to go to 2 Peter 2:20 and 21. It talks about falling away, that you're overcome by the things of the world. I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but I will tell you this. There's another guy that at one point in the Scripture, his name is Demas. You check him out. At one place in the Scripture, the Apostle Paul speaks highly of him. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, about verse 20, I think it is. No, verse 10. The Apostle Paul is talking and he says, Demas has deserted me because he loved this present life. Man. You want your name in there like that? I don't. Whoa. Ouch. Worries of the world choke them out. Luke chapter 8. Now the good stuff. I love verse 15 of Luke chapter 8. This is that parable, that seed of the good soil. And it says it this way, and the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Man, I read those parables. Jesus talks about the storms of life hit. Man, the wise guy and the foolish guy, the storms hit both of them. Man, I was at my house today and I was actually just getting started to prepare this message, and here comes the weather over the hill. Rain and hail at my house. Man, storms of life hit, don't they? Man, there's some bearing fruit with perseverance. Man, I'm telling you what, I think our society is completely destroyed. And I'll tell you why. Because we don't want to wait for nothing. Nothing at all. I went into a McDonald's and there's a sign there, a little thing on like how long the average wait time is. Like fast food's not fast enough. Man, perseverance, working through some stuff. Man, we are so weak today. Hold fast. Bear fruit with perseverance. That's what good soil does. Man, I look at like the rocky soil. You know how a lot of that is? They just don't have no perseverance. They don't have no stick-to-itness. They give up. Man, you can't give up. That good soil bears that fruit. The Matthew 13 passage of this, it says, it hears the word and understands it. Remember that seed that fell in the hard soil? It didn't understand it. It never got in there. Man, understands it. You understand what this thing means, and you know what? This is the only thing that matters. The only thing. The Word of God. Right? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall last forever.
understands that word and it bears fruit. John chapter 15. Verse 8. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Verse 16. Jesus talking, continuing on the same vein of thought. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Bear much fruit. Man, you got an apple tree that gives off one measly little apple every 6 years. Man, I ain't bearing much fruit. Bear much fruit, man. We want this thing, the boughs hanging to the ground because there's so much on it. That's what we want. That's what God wants. That's good soil. If you're in the class this morning, and again, throughout the last couple of weeks, this message has been preached already. You look at it from the very beginning. The very beginning. When God made everything, He made it to reproduce after its own kind. You know what kind you are? You're a Christian. You know what you're supposed to reproduce? Christians. Man, I like some roots of the restoration movement of restoring the ancient order of things. And they had a saying that's good. It says, the Bible only makes Christians only. Man, that's what we're here to make, Christians for God. Those living stones be placed in the temple. That's our job, to reproduce those things. It ain't the preacher's job. That's our job. His job too, but it's our job. That's our job. It doesn't say in here, and oh, by the way, if you're bad soil, but you're next to the good soil, you get in. That's not what it says. It doesn't. You look at this, the only thing that God is interested in, those that are bare fruit. That's what He's looking for. Those first three soil conditions are bad. Their end is the lake of fire. If you chase this thing to its end, it's bad. But there's good soil that bears fruit. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Anna. Luke chapter 13. I'll cut a few things out there. This is important stuff, guys. This is a salvation issue. If we're proven to be God's disciples, and the proof of that is us bearing much fruit, sounds like a salvation issue, doesn't it? Can we make that logical connection? Luke 13, verse 6. And he began telling this parable. A certain man had a fig tree which he had planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" Wow. Why does it even use up the ground? Vineyard keeper answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down." All right. So let's say that we're honestly stopping for a minute and evaluating where we are. And we realize that maybe we've allowed the deceitfulness of riches or the worries of this life to choke out the word a little bit. So that maybe we've stalled. Maybe that it stopped us from bearing fruit. Maybe we realize that, man, we never ever sunk that taproot of faith deep in there. That it's just shallow, ready to be plucked out of there. Here's your answer right here in Luke chapter 13. Man, you cultivate and fertilize that soil. Man, you do everything you can to make that soil good so that it will bear fruit. There's a solution given for this. But notice, there's a time limit on this thing, isn't there? I'm mindful of that, man. We talk about 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. You know, Bible some of people and talk about their need for repentance. Man, that's written to Christians for Christians. It says God is patient, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But guess what, man? There's a day of judgment coming when the earth and its works are going to get destroyed.
yeah, man, there can be a too late point on this thing. And it's serious stuff. Complacency kills. It does, man. Complacency kills. Man, you go to float mode, you're in major trouble. Man, sometimes it's those things start to creep in there. And we find ourselves going through the motions. Man, that's gut check time. Why are we doing this? What's the purpose behind this? It's just because, like, wow, there's a Sunday night in Billings. There ain't nothing else going on. No way, man. Why are we here? To be equipped for the work of service, to bear fruit, to make disciples, to build God's kingdom. That's what good soil does, is it gives a return to the landowner. Parable of talents, man. And I know, Mike, you got the gift of gab. I've heard that said to me before, believe it or not. Hey, man, the parable of talents, right? One guy's given five, one guy's given two, one guy's given one. You know what it says? Each according to their ability. Every person that's in the body of Christ has talent from God, given to him. Spirit placed in the body, just as he desired. I'm quoting some scripture here. Man, we all take part in this. We all bear fruit. There's no exemptions. That's what good soil does. It bears fruit when that good seed, the Word of God, falls on it. Complacency kills. It doesn't take any effort for me to grow weeds at my house. None. I have never tried to grow a weed. Never. So what happens if you stop trying spiritually? No problem to grow those weeds, is it? If you stop for a second, you think about it, and you think that thorny ground seems like it's pretty good soil, doesn't it? Grows those weeds in there pretty easy. What if we're not planting the seed, the Word of God, in there? Something's going to grow there, isn't it? Choke us out. Philippians chapter 2, I'll close with this. Mr. Schaefer preached a series of messages around these two verses. I just want to read them again. Philippians 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. That seed's been planted. You're the soil. We get to determine whether or not we're going to bear fruit. It's our job. You read through the scripture, it talks how we were created for good works. We were created as Christians to make disciples, to bear fruit after our own kind, to reproduce after our own kind. That's serious. One out of four makes it, according to the parable of the soils. And only you get to determine what kind of soil you're going to be. I'm the only one that determines what kind of soil I'm going to be. Each one of us gets to make that choice. God, take it serious. Let's close with a word of prayer. Lord God, You're an awesome and mighty God. Lord, I thank You so much for Your scriptures. I'm so thankful that the parables were recorded for us, those earthly stories with heavenly meanings, and that we've been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. That we can understand when we come across a parable like this, that we understand that it doesn't matter who we are, that we fit one of these four soil types. Lord, I pray that we all
be that good soil. That we will return to you some 30, some 60, and some hundredfold. That we will use the precious talent that you have given us to build your kingdom. That we will not squander them. That we will not spend them foolishly to build up a false security in this life. That we will not spend our days trapped by the worries of this world. That we will dedicate ourselves to your word. That we will drive deep that taproot of faith. That we will find that good soil so that word can spring up and grow and be strong and not be plucked away by temptations or persecution or affliction. Lord, maybe there's some among us that are dealing with a hard heart where that word can't penetrate it. Lord, I pray that they'll cultivate that soil. Add fertilizer to it. Stir it up. Allow that seed to penetrate in. Lord, I pray that we may bear fruit for your name. As Mr. Love read this morning in that poem, that the line between the dates of our birth and death, that you could write on it, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," that we can enter into your joy. Lord, we thank you for our King, Christ Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, that great example that has gone on before us. Lord, that we may walk in his footsteps and follow in his example and be Christ to this generation. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Dismissed.